Blog Talk Radio. get the real thoughts from real people studying today. Now, we're your student teachers, Yom Suf Arif. We're here to study about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You know, as I sit here waiting for the song to pass, I thought about the atrocities and cruelty on both sides of the fence. As far as the Jews are concerned in Israel, and as far as the Palestinians are concerned, the cutting off of babies' heads, dismembering women while they're pregnant, so much cruelty. My soul is grieved for both of them. Why, you may ask Yom Suf, are you grieved? Your soul is grieved. I hate to see man's cruelty thrust upon man. I hate to see war. Although I know it's a necessary evil, I hate to see it, especially where children and women are involved. Such a sad situation. I hope you can find it within you fellow students to pray for them. And whatever Yah will be done, let it be done. But don't be elated over the situation. Yah warns us about being elated when our enemies fall. It's true. Don't be elated over this. It's not something nice or something cute, especially when it comes to little children, girls, boys, and women. But you're here to study with me, aren't you? That's the reason why you're here, to study with Cartrell from New York City and Sister Aviyah from New York City. Well, Sister Aviyah is on a sabbatical somewhat. Although she is not speaking, she's on deck. She's doing a lot of studying and contemplating, being meditative, as all of us should be. But we're still going to study Yah's word. And you may ask yourselves, and rightfully so, Yom Suf Arif, what do you know about Sister Aviyah and Brother Cartrell? All I need to know and all you need to know is that they love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. That's all I need to know. And their actions are reflective of that. You see, the primary point I'm trying to make is this. They come on this show as often as they can when they're not busy with some emergency such as I had yesterday. But they come quite often, and they share these studies because they want you to get the fundamentals right. They want you to get the codes right. Because if you get your fundamentals and your codes right, everything in S will fall in place. They know this. And as I said, the primary reason why I know their actions are reflective of their love for Yah and you, did I get paid a dime for this? Neither am I. We do this as a labor of love because we want our people to get it right. We don't ask you for one penny. Cartrell asked y'all time back ago, if y'all getting some out of these studies, send it to the nation to help the poor, needy, homeless, widows, and so on and so forth. I concur with you. But don't send Yom Suf a dime. Don't send Cartrell a dime. Don't send Sister Aviyah a dime. Send it to the nation. They can put it to good use. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So without further ado, yes, we're studying in Divarim. Divarim. Some of you call it Deuteronomy. Their Greek name, that's not the actual name. It's Divarim. And chapter 21, when we get to study. But without further ado, I'm going to bring on Brother Cartrell. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Sean.
Bless you, all my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yom Suf Arif, shalom, shalom. How you doing?
It's good to hear yours too, big bro. It's good to hear yours too.
Yes, sir. Everything you said is true, man. Mm-hmm. We got to get these studies right. Because we're a nation. It ain't about individuality. It ain't about my family, my camp, my people. It's about us as a nation.
Exactly.
And it is said that these nations have gone to war with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Israel and Palestine, but Russia and Ukraine, mm-hmm. and wherever war is. Because what's war good for?
Nothing. Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing. So we need peace on earth. And I don't know how that's going to come, how soon it's going to come. But these nations are geared up for war.
Exactly.
We're preparing to meet the Most High.
Exactly. Because I heard that the Israeli official source said Iran would effectively give Hamas the green light. And the U.S. intel indicates that Iran was surprised. They were just as surprised as anyone else. So you can pick a fight with anybody. You stare mess at a snake. You know, and if Israel tries to get up with Iran, I don't think it's going to work out too well. Because Iran is not a pushover. And so I would, if you got the evidence, smoking gun, that's one thing. If you got speculation, that's a whole different dynamic. Go ahead, Katria.
Yeah, most people don't watch politics too closely. Mm-hmm. They ain't really got time.
Right.
But here it is. The United States give Israel $4 billion every year.
Right.
And they've been doing that ever since they've been a nation. Whereas
exactly.
the Palestinians don't get it done.
No.
And they don't have a military.
No.
The military in Israel is one of the strongest militaries in the world.
Exactly.
And that's what the Palestinians are facing. And we've seen it back in the day. Palestinians facing Israeli tanks with rocks and slingshots.
Exactly.
The situation really hasn't changed.
Mm-mm.
And for me, people are criticizing Iran for supporting the Palestinians.
Right.
Who else is supposed to support them?
Exactly.
Ain't nobody but them supporting them.
Exactly.
The United States supports Israel. People don't have a problem with that. But mm-hmm. when Iran supports a people that has no support, talking about they gave them the green light. No, the Palestinians are fighting for their lives. They ain't
right.
waiting for Iran to give them no damn green light.
Mm-mm. They're already always on green, truth be told. They are oppressed.
So people don't know how oppressed the Palestinians have been.
Right, and the Gaza Strip. Well, people need to be cognizant of world affairs, culture. I know we love Yah, we love our people. But we need to be cognizant of world affairs, too. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Contrail, fellow students, let's get busy. Chapter 21. This law, this court case, its concerns are unsolved. You just can't let a murder go unsolved because the blood calls out to Yah. And what are the procedures to handle this matter? Here's what Yah says by way of Moses. If anyone is found slain, lying in the field, in the land, our land, which Yah your Elohim is giving you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges will go out, measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. It should be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer, which has not been worked, which is not full with the yoke, the elders of that city should bring the heifer down to the valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown. They should break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, sons of Levi, shall come near, for Yah your Elohim has chosen them to minister to Yah and bless him in the name of Yah. By their word, every controversy, every assault shall be settled, and all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Yah, for your people, Israel, to whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people, Israel. and atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. Hey, you can't shed man's blood. For the gift of the innocent from among you, when you do what is right in the sight of Yah, that's the procedure there. Now, in these United States of America, they murder people every day of the week and then some. Twice a day of the week and then some. But this land is inundated with the blood of innocent. This land is inundated with the blood of the innocent Native Americans. I don't call them Indians because their name ain't no Indian. That was Christopher Columbus come over here with his dumb behind, thought he was in India. They're Choctaw, Navajo, Cheyenne, and so on and so forth. So I simply call them Native Americans. And in regards to us being brought here, almost 403 years in county, the innocent blood was shed from us by their murders of us. The Chinese, when they were building the railroad in China, not China, but in America, they used a lot of Chinese labor. A lot of Japanese were murdered, taken advantage of during World War II. So a lot of innocent blood has been shed in this country, but we could not tolerate or allow that because the people would suffer as a result of that innocent bloodshed. So there were procedures and protocol in place to make sure that innocent blood went on them, the nearest city next to that slain body. They had to confess, we ain't been part of this. We don't know nothing about this. Most High would take that innocent blood away. And I'm sure there's a lot of innocent blood being shed now in Gaza. And in the case of Esau in Israel. Blood must be called for. You just can't shed innocent people blood and go unresolved as far as Yah is concerned. So as I said, there were procedures and protocol in place for us to make sure that innocent blood of that individual wasn't on us. Cartrell, what say you?
This procedure might seem peculiar, right?
Right.
But we see that the elders had a heavy job because mm-hmm. they were called upon.
Right.
They were called upon in matters like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the elders, but the judge and the priests. And what we don't realize is the power that the priests had. Most of the prophets were priests, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They came from the Levite family, and they had prophetic abilities. And there's things that the Most High shows them that he doesn't show the average layman in the nation. So when you call for the priest and they say a prayer, there's a spiritual element to it to take the guilt off the nation because nobody saw it and nobody knows how it happened. Mm-hmm. But you just can't let it go. You have to make recompense somehow with the Most High.
Exactly.
So this is the form of doing it.
Exactly. Thank you, big brother. And now, people, here's how we treated female captives that were captured, and especially we had some locking for her. It said, when you go out to war against your enemies, and Yah, your Elohim, delivers them into your hand, and you take them captives, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, and will take her for you. You can't just take her and knock her off now. Well, I'm going to just take that woman. I'm going to ravish her. No. Mm-mm. You got to marry that woman. Then you shall bring her home to your house. She shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall put off the clothes of her captivity and remain in your house. And you're supposed to be so over inundated with this woman that you lost your mind. You're supposed to give this woman time to grieve her father, her mother, a full month. After that, you may go into her and be her husband. No, there ain't no knockoffs. And she shall be your wife. All that covers. And it shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you should set her free. If you don't want her, if something ain't working out for you, you don't want her to chain her back up and tell her to go in the yard and go pick some cotton, you're supposed to let her go free. You set her free. But you but you certainly shall not sell her for money. Now, quite unlike we were treated, wasn't it? But you shall not treat her brutally, because you have humbled her as a result of that intimate relationship. Set her free. Don't treat her brutally. And let her go about her way. What say you, Katria?
The Most High created beautiful women in every nation.
Exactly.
You see that?
Exactly.
And if you see one of your enemy's daughters, that's fine, and you want her, mm-hmm. you just can't take her. Like you said, there's codes we have to follow.
Exactly.
And most of the nations that we were fighting were either Shemitic or Hermetic nations.
Right.
But if you wanted one of their daughters, you had to follow those codes.
Exactly. Treat her like family.
Treat her like a lady.
Treat her like a lady. True, brother. Thanks, big brother. And now, because we experienced this situation here before with Leah and Rachel, you know, and the firstborn, no matter if that firstborn is by the unloved wife, the firstborn is the firstborn. Not because you love her and she giving you a second or third born, the firstborn has inheritance rights. Let's see. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other, because it's hard to love two. Then like that song said, Katya, it's hard to love two. It ain't easy to do, because somebody gonna miss out. He has two wives, one loved and the other unloved. And they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved. And if the firstborn son, it is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on a day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons, that he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved wife. They ain't got nothing to do with it. They didn't make a choice in the matter who was their mom or daddy, the true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all he has. He gonna get everybody something. Don't get it twisted. But the son of the unloved, the firstborn, gets a double portion. For he is the beginning of this man's strength, the right of the firstborn is his. It's because you didn't love her, you got with her, didn't you? All right? So that don't negate anything from the firstborn of the unloved wife. He gets a double portion. Okay? Katria, what say you?
Well, it goes to show that our ancient fathers wasn't following these rules and regulations.
Exactly.
Because Isaac got the firstborn blessing from Abraham.
Right.
You know who Abraham's firstborn son was?
Yeah, Ishmael.
And he didn't get the firstborn blessing, did he?
No, he didn't.
It went to Isaac. So Abraham didn't follow these laws of Moses, but we are required to follow these laws of Moses.
Exactly.
And you might have two wives, and you might have been married, you know, for a while. She got children by you, and the relation sours. Just because the relation sours doesn't mean that you can't give the child that she gave you birth first. You can't deny him his birthright just because you fell out with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the children suffer because people break up. And they use the children as tools, as pawns to get an advantage. So if you got two wives and the one you love the most didn't have the baby first, but the other one did, she got to get the firstborn. Her son got to get the firstborn's right.
Exactly.
And it's a double portion. Double portion. What anybody else get.
Exactly. Praise y'all, Kaisville. And I know a lot. Thank you, brother. I know a lot of y'all got some bad chillin'. I call them chillin' because when they bad, I call them chillin'. not children. See, everybody got one. But you ain't got to worry about that bad child. Here's what our procedures and protocol is about a rebellious son and a daughter. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey, okay, you can't do that now. That gets child abuse. They'll lock you up. But in our land, that was a requirement. Who would not, and this child would not obey the voice of his father, other voices, he ain't hearing nobody. Who, when they have chastened him, got him right, got him some get right, would not heed them, even if he got his behind whooped. Then his father and his mother, equally are required, should take a hold of him, bring him to the elders. Elders bear a lot of responsibility with bad children. The elders of his city, to the gate of his city. They should say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away, and this is a mean of putting fear in bad children. I call them children because they're children. Because children follow their mothers and fathers' instructions. Children just like goats. And as a result, by you doing that, you put away the evil from them. But if you let it persist, think about it for one moment as we speak, as we study together. You see how it is in this Western Hemisphere? How we put them in jail. They eat bonbons and cupcake while we all watch reality. When they come back and they do something else. See, you shouldn't even want them bad children around you anyway. And you shouldn't put them off on the public. Because they're going to do what they do. If they ain't listening to you, they ain't going to listen to nobody else. And you have a duty to the community. You have a duty to the nation. Not only in your private lives, but don't put that poison on the nation as they do in this Western Hemisphere. Moms don't say nothing. Dad don't say nothing. They're stabbed in the neighborhood. They're in gangs and whatnot, throwing signs, shooting folk down like dogs. That's what you put on a community when you let this slide. You can't let it slide. I know it may sound rather harsh to you, but just look at this Western Hemisphere. And mamas and daddy let these little sapsuckers do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And then when they get out there and kill somebody in the community, oh, man, I ain't know nothing about it. Yeah, you knew something about it. You are guilt by association. You let them hide up in your attic, hide up on your house from the po-po. You should be the first one to call. Yeah, he up in the attic. Hide behind a pack of clothes. But see, you co-sign on what's wrong, and you're surprised at the end result, cause and effect. And see, the Most High said, put away that. Because if he or she is doing it in your house, they're going to take the show on the road. Believe you me, just like in this Western Hemisphere. It's true. So Yah has a remedy for that. Put them stones on them. And you shall put away the evil from among you as a result of doing this. And all Israel shall hear and fear. They'll hear about it. They'll hear about your little bad son and your little bad daughter and what happened to them. Now, you can't do it here. You can't do it in captivity because they're going to lock you up. But when you're back home, be prepared to do what you got to do for the interest not only of you, but the interest of the community, the interest of the nation. This is a national interest. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Contrario, what say you, brother?
In these instances, it was a public execution.
Mm-hmm.
So all of you saw what happened to somebody who was rebellious against their parents.
Right.
And they knew the consequences, and it would make them think twice about dishonoring or disrespecting their parents.
Exactly.
And that kind of stuff would not go on in the land. In other words, you wouldn't have the Bloods, you wouldn't have the Crips, you wouldn't have the gang bangers that we got in America, because they could do what they want to do, and ain't nobody telling them nothing.
Right.
And then they influence the other youth by making music, rap songs about it, because they glorify it. They're rebellious against discipline and order.
Exactly.
So they would nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
and it wouldn't be going on. There'd be no Bloods, no Crips, no gang banging, no gangster rap music. Cause
no
gangster shut that down.
No gangster walking. It's true. Praise God, Cartrell. That's his only name.
Praise God.
Cartrell, fellow students, about to give you the last segment of study. That's in the book of Zomar. No, y'all call it Psalms. That's not the original name. It's Zomar. And it's chapter 141. And this song is written by King Dawud. And it goes as an earnest appeal for guidance and deliverance. You got to make an earnest appeal to y'all. An earnest appeal for guidance. And when you call him for guidance, be earnest and deliverance. Praise y'all. Cartrell, you have the mic, the chalk, and the chalkboard.
I think you forgot one verse.
Mm.
22.
22? Oh, let me go back. Right quick. Oh, you're right. Miscellaneous laws. If a man committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight. See, we don't let the bodies of our people hang overnight on a tree. But you should surely bury him that day, that very day, so that you do, because if you don't do it, you will defy the land. So that you do not defy the land which Yah your Elohim is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is a curse of Yah. That's enough. Not like the Romans hang you out there all day long and then some at nighttime, next day too. But you're to get rid of that body and you're to bury that body. Because that body is seen as a curse to Yah. And if you let it hang there, it'll defy the land. And you will suffer. You will suffer the end result because your land produces for you. So bury that body. Praise Yah. Bless his holy name. Cartrell, what say you?
Bury that body same day?
Same day.
Or what happened?
You will curse the land. It will defile the land, and that body is seen as a curse to Yah, hanging up there like that.
So how many days was Jesus on that cross?
Oh, I don't know. I think they say he was only a day or something like that, but they say he rose in 3 days. They put him in the grave of a rich man, and he rose in 3 days. That's what it said.
But he died on the cross, right?
Yeah, he died on the cross.
They were supposed to bury him that day, right?
They were supposed to bury him that day.
And he wasn't buried that day, was he?
Well, from my understanding, he was buried that day. Because I think that guy, the rich guy, and they said Mary and Mary Magdalene went and asked the Roman government to give us the body. We got to bury him. And they put him in that rich man's tomb.
Not on the first day.
If memory serves me correctly, yeah, they buried him on the first day. Because of the fact, see, from what I understand, he was not stalwart as the two thieves on opposite side of him. Even though he was a carpenter, I didn't get that. So they broke their legs in order to help speed up the process of death. But they said he was dead already because they stuck up in the side what they said. And found out he was dead already. But they broke the other two thieves' legs to help speed up the process. So, because I think it was running into the Shabbat. So to help speed up the process, they broke their legs.
Okay. So we know that when they were hanging us, when we came here as slaves,
mm-hmm.
they wanted us to be an abomination.
Right.
And they wouldn't bury us that day. They would leave us up there on display.
You better believe it. Hanging like strange fruits, as our sister once poignantly wrote and sung. Strange fruits.
So these codes make sense to me.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
All praises.
All praises. Thank you, brother. Cartrell is about to share the last segment of the study. Zomar, 143. All right. An earnest appeal for guidance and deliverance. This is a psalm, a song, Zomar, a Zomar of King David. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell.
All praises to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We thank you for our great King.
Yeah.
And some of these are Zamarim or songs, and some of these are Tehillim, prayers. Mm-hmm.
Right.
This one is a prayer. It's not a song.
Okay. And it's Zamar 143. Thank you for the correction, Sister Abia. Song 143. Praise Yah.
Tehillim 143. It's a prayer.
Okay.
A prayer by King David. It's always good and refreshing to see our King David as he pops up through these songs. Get a chance to get into his mindset. Hear my prayer, O Yah. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. What did he say? No one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. That's what we should be doing, meditating on all that Yah has done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Yah. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those that go down into the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For I trust in you. Make me know the way that I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Yah. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my Elohim. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Yah, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. In your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. All praise to the Holy One of Israel.
All and, praise.
We should all say this prayer. Because we all are the servants of Yah. It's an ideal cookie-cutter prayer. Because we want Yah to hear us and hear our plea. Especially in our times of trouble. We want Yah not to judge us. Because we ain't all that righteous.
No.
And those that's trying to take our soul, we want to be protected from that. We should be remembering the days of old, which is our roots, our culture, our history, what our ancient fathers did. King David didn't have that problem because he knew. And meditate on all that the Most High is doing. Forget about what man's doing. Focus on what Yah's doing. We want a quick answer from Yah when we down in the dumps. And all you got to do is ask him. King David sure did. We don't want Yah hiding his face from us unless he turns his back on us and we die and go down into the pit. So the Most High will deliver us from our enemy because he loves us and we've made him our refuge. We have to be taught to do the will of Yah. We have to let the Most High Spirit guide us. And it's all for his name's sake, for him to get the glory in the end. All praise. We thank King David and we thank Yah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, big brother. Fellow students, I hope you heard something within these studies that enlighten you, that help you get a paradigm shift so you can start looking through the eyes of Yah at yourself. As Katya alluded to, everybody think they clean here. Ain't nobody clean. We all dirty. But don't turn away from Yah. Cling to him like King David. Share with him like King David. And expect an answer for him. It's true. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Any closing remarks, Brother Cartier?
This is why I love King David, because he wasn't a pompous king. It wasn't all about him. He knew his frailties. He knew his fallacies. He knew his limitations. And he expressed it. I'm not perfect. I ain't righteous, more righteous than anybody else. But I do want a relationship with you, my creator. I need to be led. I need to be taught. I need to meditate on the things that you're doing. And just like King David, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to be taught. We need to be led. We need to be meditating on what Yah's doing in his works and what he's doing for us personally. So we have to learn our role as his servants. And King David, being a king, acknowledged, he said, "For I am your servant." He wasn't serving himself. He was serving our creator. And that's our job. Let's find out what the job is and do it. And the only way you're going to do that is by learning Yah's will and being guided by the Most High. All praises.
All praises. It's just that simple, brothers and sisters. It's just that simple. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. We love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Conquering lion, come with trample the beast.